Fruit, please, in chapter 1. Ruth 1, and the last verse. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now over, please, the book of Exodus. Chapter 25. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst them. And finally, in the last book of, in the last chapter of Exodus, the last chapter, verse 33, the last clause, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Leviticus 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. We've heard this afternoon of sorrow. We would then like you to hear again that the Lord's coming. O joy, O delight, should we go without dying. There are many tonight with broken hearts, and they would love the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Sorrow will do one of two things. It will draw you nearer to the person of the Lord Jesus, or it will drive you further away. I'm thinking of the ministry too that we've heard today. We thought of those who have left the assembly and are no longer with us. I think of brethren back home whom I shared a platform like this with them many times, and today they're no longer with us. What's happened? We did hear today. God has not many things in one place, but one thing in many places. And I believe it's very important, especially for our younger men and women, to get a right grip of what a local assembly is. Here's something that's for God. Here's a place on earth where God meets and dwells with his people. And brethren, if the presence of the Lord be not with us, we're as well to close the door. Why did Elimelech and Naomi leave Bethlehem, Judah? We have to be honest. It was a famine. And we must be honest, brethren. There's famine all around us in the present day. There's a great falling away. We're getting smaller. We're getting weaker. And I believe the trouble is this. The majority of us don't know what a local assembly is. The place where God has placed his name. It was a great day when Naomi came back. Great to see souls saved. Fills our heart and thrills us every time we hear the cry of a newborn babe. But brethren, there would be a great revival amongst us if those who once met with us were coming back again. Maybe we'll need to have prayer meetings to bring back those who have gone from us. There are many lonely hearts outside. I know brethren out there who once ran with us, and they would love to get back. But I tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world to come back. You remember the appearance of the Lord Jesus. They lost him one day. They supposed him to be in the mist. I wonder today, are we supposing him to be in the midst? You remember there were 3 days in finding him. And it's so easy to get out of touch. And that's what happened to Elimelech. There was a famine in the land. But you know, in time of famine, those who cling to God, God will see that their need is met. You remember there was a man who stayed not far from Elimelech. That man had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and I don't know how many grandchildren, and he didn't leave, and God sustained him. And if you look back over the book of the Judges, there were those who remained in Bethlehem, Judah, and God met their need. So I say today that even in time of famine, the presence of the Lord can be felt. The realness of what an assembly is can be enjoyed in every heart. They came back at the barley harvest. That was a lovely time of the year, you know. That was the spring of the year. The barley had just started to grow, and the barley was ripe. And you remember what barley speaks of in your Bible. It speaks of resurrection. And think today of our risen Lord. If he be not risen, we are all men most miserable, and we have nothing to live for. The resurrection of our Lord is one of the most important truths in the whole of your Bible. He rose from amongst the dead. You remember he went about for 40 days, never seen by anyone who was unsaved, only seen by his own brethren. Remember what he was teaching them? He was teaching them what we need to be taught today. He was teaching them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And if you go through your Bible, you'll discover this, that the kingdom of God and the church of God and the house of God are one and the same things. So before Paul ever wrote his epistles, before he ever gave us church truth, the blessed Lord himself for 40 days was teaching his own concerning the kingdom of God. Now I have to think of that occasion, you know, as he stood yonder at Bethany with his hands raised as a priest. He's been taken from them. He goes up into the heavens, and we hear those words, "This same Jesus who is going up into heaven shall in like manner come." Now that's not the rapture. That's after the rapture. We have today that when it's the rapture, it'll be swiftly. It'll be silently. It will be secretly. And only those who are in Christ will be taken home. But in Acts chapter 1, when he comes there again, he's not coming to the air. He's coming and his feet will touch Mount Olivet, and Mount Olivet will be divided in two. And you and I will be with him. And he'll go through that golden gate. And again, he'll set up his house. And the house in that day again will be a material house. Oh, what lies before us as the people of God. She came back at the time of barley harvest. Now, we've heard about maturity. You remember the apostle when he went into Corinth? He said to the Corinthians, "I should be feeding you with meat, but you're not able to take it." A man back home, whom Mr. Paisley knows very well, called John Douglas, he put it this way. He says, Paul, as he went into Corinth, he discovered this, that the saints were babes with whiskers. They should have been mature, but they weren't mature. And brethren, we must be honest, there are many of us we're that way. We've never grown in the things of God. So she comes at the beginning of barley harvest, that lovely time of the year. But you'll remember there are 3 months between the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And between the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, there ought to be that maturity, seen in many places of your Bible. Remember, it was seen in David. The time of the barley harvest, there was a famine, a fierce famine. And David got before God to ask what was wrong. All he says is because of Saul and his house. And you remember, David went out and he slew those men whom God said had to be slain. And then it was a barley harvest. But there was still no change. There was still a famine. And David gets before God again. What's wrong? I know the job wasn't complete. God says to him, get up there, he says, and give these men a decent burial. And you remember he went up and he also buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan. And then at the wheat harvest, God came in and the famine was over. The barley harvest, the wheat harvest. You remember Hosea, we're in Hosea today. You remember he was told to go and buy a woman of disrepute. Remember she was there, she had left him, and now she's on the unction block. And the unction here is unction there, telling her good points, telling her bad points. You remember what Hosea did? He bought her with barley. Now you check up the amount of barley he paid for her. And check that again, check that against Leviticus chapter 25, and you'll discover this. He paid away over the odds for a woman whom the world would say was worthless. Now, but you come to Calvary today. See that man that bled and died in our room instead? You and I were worthless. Think today of the cost he paid, not in wheat, but in the precious blood that you spilled in a place called Calvary. God's calendar is a wonderful thing, isn't it? God gave the calendar in the first place. You remember at the very beginning in Genesis, 6 days and the seventh day. But God who gave the calendar, he changed the calendar. You remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 2. God changed the calendar. He says this month, that was the seventh month, shall be the first month. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you'll keep the Passover. Now, wouldn't it have been good if God had said, the first day of the month, keep the Passover. That's what you and I would have done. New Year's Day, a new start. Let us keep the Passover. Now, that's not how God works. And you remember again now, in Exodus, near the end of your book, the second year, again, he speaks about the first day. Now he says, the first day, what's going to happen? My house is going to be set up. And on the first day of the first month, fire came out of the holiest, down through the court of the tabernacle, onto the brazen altar. And for the first time, we have God's house. And God now will meet with his people for the first time. Oh, you see, hadn't he always met with them? No. God had been with them, and God had been for them, but God was never amongst them until that tabernacle was completed. And we've heard today about men in the right place and men in the wrong place. My brother, let me say again today, there's only one place. The place where he has placed his name, where two or three are, having been gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But you remember, he who gave the calendar gave it for the whole year. Remember, he says on the 50th year, you'll keep the year of Jubilee. Now you'll search in vain, and Jubilee was never kept. You see, it's pointing forward today when it will yet be kept. And I'm thinking on the future as our brother has brought it before us. The coming of the Lord, the marriage supper and so on. And in that day, the year of Jubilee will be kept in the millennium. And God comes, when the Son of God comes back with his own and moves through those golden gates, and you and I will be with him. And then it will be the year of Jubilee. You remember too, that when the priest went out, he cut the two sheaves of the barley. And there it was waved before the Lord. But when you come to the wheat, there's something added. You remember the priest cut the two sheaves, But there was two loaves, baked with leaven. Now they cannot speak of Christ. Nothing at all leaven about him. He is altogether lovely. All fair without, all pure within, our blessed Lord. And I say in London this afternoon, not only he did not sin, but he could not sin. If he could have sinned, he could never have been our Saviour. So there's the two barley loaves. What do they speak to us of? Well, you will remember in Leviticus chapter 23 that God gave us all the different feasts. They were to keep the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you'll discover they kept the Passover at least six times. They kept the Feast of Tabernacles at least three times. But you'll never ever read they kept Pentecost. You remember what they were told. You'll count seven Sabbaths, and the morning after the seventh, you'll keep the Feast of Pentecost. Now seven sevens are 49, and the morning after, 50, Pentecost. Ah, you see again, Pentecost was going to be kept in a future day. It was going to be kept in the book of the Acts. The church cannot be formed until the risen head goes back to glory. The Spirit of God cannot come until Christ be back in glory. I refer to him as he rose from amongst the dead, 40 days amongst his own. Taken home to glory, he went up. He rose up. He was received up. He was taken up. And you remember there were 10 days. Why 10 days? Well, 40 and 10 make 50. And when the 50th day came, Pentecost was kept for the first time. You know, there were many believers there. There was over 500. But at Pentecost, there was only 100 knots. And there they met that day in the upper room. The risen head has gone back to glory. The Holy Spirit comes down. The house is filled. And we're the start of something that will go on until the Lord comes. And I believe with all my heart that when he comes, every believer from Pentecost until the rapture will be raptured home. No thought of a partial rapture. I've often said, if you have in your hand a handful of nails, some are bent, some are rusty, some are crooked, you put a magnet over them, and they'll all rise. There's a day coming, you know, when as we've heard today, we'll hear the shout, we'll be transferred to glory, and we'll all be gathered home, the Feast of Pentecost. That was the start of the church age that we know presently. But God was with his own people. We read that, didn't we? In the book of Exodus chapter 25. And I'm thinking now of that great tabernacle that was set up. Something that corresponds to our local assembly. What a sight that must have been, you know. You remember as Israel came towards it, it was a sea of white. The righteousnesses of the saints and those pillars that held them up represent you and I in a world that knows him not. You know, it's not easy, it's not hard to shine in a world that you and I live in. It's easy. They have no time for God. They have no place for God. On top of those boards, there's a silver chapiter. And silver speaks of redemption. I sometimes say to the young men at home, it's great to be saved. Great to be saved. Brethren, it's simple, but never let us lose the warmth of it. Saved and going to heaven. And those chapiters are pointing to the gate. There's a gate round there. When you come to the gate, you know it's a large gate. It's 30 feet long. It's 7.5 feet high. There's four pillars here, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. The gospel's all there. Is there one today and you've been appealed to already? Have you come to the gate? I want to tell you, there's a Savior at the gate who's waiting to save you. When he comes to the gate, you know, he looks inside and the first vessel he sees is that brazen altar. That big altar. 7 foot 6 by 7 foot 6. You know, you could put all the vessels of the tabernacle inside that altar. What does it tell me? It tells me there's room for all. I was impressed today, you know, as I thought about a man being saved in his dying hours. Let me tell you a story. A young man attended gospel meeting after gospel meeting. Now 40 years of age, never accepted Christ. He's on a high ladder, and the ladder slips and he comes down and he falls on concrete. He's left for dead. But the man gets better. Their brother Davy Kane from Ireland went to visit him. They said, you've had opportunity after opportunity to trust Christ. He says, Mr. Kane, when that ladder was coming down, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Brother, never give in. Never give up. There'll be those in heaven that you never thought would have been there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, a God of mercy, who willeth that none be lost. When I come to that brazen altar, I think in this. There's room for all. Room for all. None need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. Don't get tied up with this election business. You'll be in the elect as soon as you're born again. You know, the altar was four square. Four square. I love the things in the Bible, you know, it's four square. There's a brazen altar. Room for all. I look at the priest and I see his breastplate. And it's four square. And I think there's a heart for all. Now, brethren, we have a high priest in the glory today. Thank God. He's a heart for us all. And when we're at our very lowest, he's there with a heart of love. I think of the altar of incense. The altar of incense is four square. There's help for all. Help for all. The weakest believer today, there's help. There's a high priest in heaven, and he's able to succor all that are tempted. And he's able to save to the uttermost, and that's no salvation. That's for believers. He's able to save you and I to the uttermost. Brother, we need to be saved every day. Every day. Help for all. Now, you know, when I come to the book of the Revelation, there's a golden city. It's coming down the New Jerusalem. The Bible tells me it's four square. There's a place for all. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a day it was when the tabernacle was set up, when the priests functioned for the first time, when men were able to bring their offering and it was placed upon the altar. And there arose a fragrance and an incense to God Almighty. And God was pleased with it. It'll be your privilege and my privilege tomorrow morning to come before him. None should appear before him empty. And with our baskets full, there ought to arise that incense that's pleasing to the heart of God. There's a Christ for every one of us. The tabernacle was set up. And they gathered at the altar. And they moved to the labor. There was no light in the court but the light of the sun. You remember they moved into the holy place. In the holy place of the light of that candlestick. They showed the table of showbread, the food of the priests. You know, there are books written what the Bible teaches. This is the book, brethren, that teaches what the Bible teaches. This is it. A full book all to ourselves. There's that incense altar. But there was never a sacrifice upon him. You remember that incense taken into the holy place? But there was the Ark of the Covenant. What a picture of our blessed Lord, you know. Inside a broken law, on top of the lid, the blood that was sprinkled, the cherubims looking over, looking down, and seeing the blood. You know, it all reminds us of a day that's yet to come. The holiest will enter tomorrow morning. We'll be around his blessed person. But it may be, as we've heard today, before the day has gone, we'll be gathered home and we'll worship as we've never worshipped before.